In the name of Jesus. In the year 1507, an artist by the name of Albrecht Dürer was commissioned to draw a picture for an altarpiece. The man that commissioned him was Jacob Heller, and the altarpiece would be known there at St. Mary's Church as the Heller altarpiece. We don't know exactly what the altarpiece looked like because in 1729, I believe it was, the whole church and the altarpiece burned to the ground. What survived, however, was a sketch that Albrecht Dürer had made of hands that looked a little something like that. Look familiar? Perhaps you have an icon, a little cast model. Perhaps you have a picture of praying hands somewhere in your house or upon your wall. I remember as a kid going up to Minnesota and seeing a very similar set of hands. I know not where they are now after my grandpa died and grandma moved into a nursing home. But after I married into my wife's family and her grandparents died, her mom approached me and she said, "You're going to be a pastor. Would you like to have a set of praying hands?" Well, how can you say no to praying hands? And ever since then, these praying hands have sat on my desk, in my office, wherever I've been a pastor, and even before when I was a student studying. And I look at them, and I look at how they're designed. I look at the veins. I look at the cuffs and the sleeves, and we don't know exactly whose hands they are. We don't know who the artist used as a model. Some people think it might have been his mom, have very slender fingers, but could be a man as well. My fingers are a little chubbier. But you've got the sleeves. Regardless, they're common hands that are praying. Our psalm that we read responsively earlier from Psalm 24, specifically verses 3 to 4, says this: "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place?" The answer: he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. So who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Who will stand in his holy place? Coming through the end of the church year, I hope you had time to reflect upon the return of our Lord, of Judgment Day that awaits. And while as Christians we have great blessed promises in our baptism that our names are already written in the book of life, yet that day will still be a great and terrible day. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be people that we care for deeply who have rejected our Lord, have rejected all that God has done and said, and for them that day will be terrible, a day of eternal damnation. For you and me, in the midst of that turmoil, Christ will rescue. But will he? Will he rescue you and me? Such is the question we toy with, especially when hearing this text, that the one who will ascend the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place is one who has clean hands and a pure heart. So how clean are your hands? How have your hands been used in recent days, weeks, over the course of this past year? Have you served your neighbor every time there's been a need? Have your hands been folded often like this in prayer to God, or more quickly clenched in fists? When we start to think about the use of our hands, I doubt any of us here could say that our hands are completely clean, not as in soap and water, but clean as in never sinning, which doesn't even touch the issue of a pure heart. I don't know about your heart, but I know mine quite well. I know the love that my heart has for things that, well, I really don't need. My heart that often chases after other things, even in my dreams, mostly pertaining to hunting equipment and golf balls, but regardless, you know what I mean. Hearts and dreams and our hands and our lives, well, they're made exactly of what Adam was made out of, just a bunch of dirt. But the Lord has come to redeem dirt like you and me. The Lord has come for common people like us who recognize our hands are not clean, recognize that our hearts are not pure, He has come in the form of Jesus, who himself folded his hands there at Gethsemane, who prayed that the Lord would take the very cup from him, the cup of wrath to be poured out on the cross, where our dear Lord would bear all the punishment that your unclean hands and my unpure heart deserve. Jesus, whose same hands stretched out upon the cross, prayed for those around him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amazing as it is, Scripture is not really speaking about your hands and mind, at least in terms of those who will ascend the hill of the Lord. Scripture is speaking of the hands of Christ. Albrecht Dürer, when he drew the sketch, supposedly according to history that's been passed down for 500 years, I often thought those must be the hands of Jesus. Well, as history tells us, they're actually the hands of an apostle who knelt at the tomb of Mary. At least that's how the story goes, but I don't really care about the backstory. When I see the praying hands, it reminds me of my Lord's hands, who's rescued me from sin, death, and the devil. My Lord's hands stretched out upon the cross as he suffered and bled and died. My Lord, who through his death opened the gateway to heaven for you and to me. Jesus, who ascended the hill of the Lord and who stands now in the holy place and who calls to you and to me, come. Who opens up his hands and says, "Hear my word." Who says, "Open your mouth to receive the body and blood of Jesus." Who in turn gives you his hands to go and do the work that God still desires to do, of serving your neighbor, of caring for the orphan and the poor and the widowed. Clean hands? No, probably not yours or mine. But Jesus' hands? I think so. This Advent season, as we prepare once again for the coming of Christ our Lord as a baby, as a human man with hands like yours and mine, let us give thought, let us give care to not only the use of our hands, but how his hands, how he himself has served us. God grant us this in the name of Jesus. Amen.